The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. Today, a question about the assurance of eternal salvation. Can Lordship salvation result in assurance? Is assurance important? Welcome, friend. Glad you've joined us today on Grace in Focus. This is the radio broadcast and podcasting ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Find out more about us and read our daily blogs at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Now, with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
I have a question here. Actually, it's a twofold question from someone named John. He mentions that he saw a video put out by someone named Diamante on YouTube. And I've actually not seen the one put out by Diamante, but I saw the one put out by MacArthur's ministry itself, I think. It showed a young woman holding a microphone and asking John MacArthur in front of a large group of people how she can know she is saved. She was in tears and shaking visibly. Well, I remember seeing this clip, and y'all can find it online, but in the course of the clip, she says, how can I know? In other words, when she looks at her life, she doesn't see enough fruit to convince her that she must be saved. And MacArthur tries to assure her that her tears and her concern for this are great signs. And these are strong indications that she's a, what MacArthur would call, genuine believer. He says, yes, we do look at our works, but we do need to recognize that we're all sinners and we all fail and we will fall, but we get back up. And he says, you're getting back up and you're doing well. She did not come away comforted from what I could tell in the video. And according to John here, Diamante's conclusion was, quote, here is the fruit of Lordship salvation, fear, doubt, anxiety, etc. I would agree with John and Diamante that that is the fruit of Lordship salvation. Yeah. But I think we need to all recognize that is a desirable fruit according to Lordship salvation. Lordship salvation wants all of us to have some level of fear of our salvation because they think if we were certain that we were eternally secure, then we would not be highly motivated to live for God, right?
Right. I think they feel fear and lack of assurance is a proper motivation for a believer. And, you know, he's pointing her to the wrong places. I think the natural question then is, or even for her, well, how much tears is enough? Am I sad enough? Am I remorseful enough?
Yeah. How good do my works have to be?
Right.
To really show me. The big motivation, if you wanted to point to a primary motivation in Lordship salvation to serve God, is fear. Fear of hell.
Yeah.
The primary motivation, according to biblical Christianity, is love.
Correct.
The love of Christ constrains us. Yeah. It compels us. Yeah. He died for us. Therefore, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Yeah. 1 John 3:16. Love, it seems to me, is a more powerful motivator than fear. Yeah. And the other part of the problem is, and I think you can see this with the young woman asking the question, fear can be debilitating. It can be paralyzing, right?
Right. And I think in the end, it's like MacArthur and Lordship, they point people to the wrong place to look for assurance and look for love. How do we know that Jesus loves us? Is it by looking at our lives and seeing if our circumstances show that Jesus loves us? No, it's by looking at the Word of God. The Word of God tells us that Jesus loves the world and that he loved us so much that he died on the cross for our sins and offers everlasting life to anyone who would just believe in him for that.
Yeah, but from their perspective, the problem with that is that opens the door for a person to abuse grace. And I think our answer has to be, yes, it is possible for someone who is eternally secure and knows it to abuse the free gift of everlasting life that has been freely given. But nobody does that with impunity.
Right.
The idea they have is someone can do that, it's not going to make any difference now or forever. No, it's going to make a difference now, and it's going to make a difference at the judgment seat of Christ, and it's going to make a difference in our eternal experience. All believers have everlasting life, and they're going to live with him forever. But only some believers have abundance of life now, and only some believers are going to have abundance of life forever. And only some believers are going to rule with Christ, and only some believers are going to have an abundance of treasure that they've laid up in heaven. So it's important to recognize that how we live matters. And it not only matters to you and me, but it matters to our families. It matters to the other people in your local church. It matters to the people who deal with you at work, the people who deal with you when you're driving your car. All of it is influenced by whether we know for sure that we have everlasting life. So I'm with a young woman here. I'm looking for some way I can be sure, not some way I can go through life constantly afraid. And by the way, just a quick aside, in 1989, I went to my first meeting of the Evangelical Theological Society. It was in San Diego, California, and I presented a small paper on repentance, which I had written my doctoral dissertation on. And John MacArthur was giving a plenary message, a message in front of about 1,000 Bible scholars there. I was able to ask him a question during the Q&A time, because he had said in the course of the talk that we had to test ourselves to see if we were in the faith, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 7. And so I said, how often do we need to do that? And he said, well, at least as often as you partake of the Lord's Supper. He said, probably at least every week. Mm-hmm. And so I said, so every week we're testing ourselves to see if we're in the faith.
Yeah.
And I said, so then when could we be sure that we're saved? 100%. And he said, I don't know what you mean by 100%. And I said, certain. And he said, well, it seems to me, in light of the Puritans, that's difficult.
It seems very popular, this idea that there's levels of certainty. There's only really one level. Either you're sure or you're not. Anything else is being uncertain.
Just jumping in here to make you aware of our magazine, Grace in Focus. It is a bi-monthly, 6 issues per year, 48-page magazine, full color. And we want you to subscribe by emailing your name and your snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. The subscription is free. It can be accessed electronically, or it can be actually physically sent to you if you live in the lower 48 United States. That's our Grace in Focus magazine. Send your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org.
There's only really one level. Either you're sure or you're not. Anything else is being uncertain.
That's a great point. In fact, that leads to John's second part of his question. He says, is there such a thing as a degree of saving faith or not? In other words, do I have to have certainty that I'm saved, or is there some kind of degree, like, well, I'm, you know, 60% is better than 50-50, 80%, 90%. And no, there aren't degrees of faith. The reason some people say that is in part because, let's say they're not convinced, like, for example, the Dallas Mavericks are in the playoffs as we're talking right now, and we lost the first game terribly, and it looked like we were going to be blown out in the series. Well, we won the second game pretty handily, so now it looks like it's anybody's game. But if you were to say, do you believe that the Mavericks are going to win this series against Oklahoma City? Well, you would say, yeah, I'm highly confident. I'm 60%, 70%. But what we mean by that when we use the word believe is not that I'm persuaded. What we mean is something like, do you have some level of confidence?
Right.
In English, the word believe conveys sometimes a sense of confidence that's different than the Greek. The Greek, to believe something, is to be persuaded, to be convinced that something is true. It's never, okay, I believe the stock market's going to go up tomorrow. I believe that, you know, so-and-so is going to get elected to Congress.
Yeah.
No, belief is something you're sure of. There's no degree of certainty. I wrote an article years ago about I was absolutely sure that I have everlasting life, just like I'm sure 2 + 2 = 4, I'm sure I have everlasting life. And I said it has nothing to do with my works.
Right.
It has everything to do with Jesus, what he promised. I know he promised is true. I believe in him, therefore I'm secure. And a fellow Dallas grad who has a doctorate, he wrote an article saying there are four degrees of certainty. There's mathematical certainty, and he said mathematical certainty is 100%. And then there's scientific certainty, which is not quite 100%, but pretty close. And then he had a legal certainty, which is far less than 100%, but it's beyond a shadow of a doubt. So it's some level. And then he had moral certainty, and that's where all biblical truth was. And that was the worst. And I was like, really? So when we say that Jesus was born in Bethlehem, is that true or not?
Yeah.
Am I sure that's true or not? There are people who go through life. I remember when I was on staff with Campus Crusade for Christ, I met a student that said he wasn't sure he existed. I mean, he was like, I don't know if anything exists. Maybe this is all just some kind of dream.
Yeah. Someone needed to punch him in his stomach. Goes, I guess that didn't exist. Or, are you sure?
That may prove it to you.
Yeah.
I wrote an article on this the other day. Rene Descartes.
Yeah.
He said, I think, therefore I am.
Yeah.
People today reject that, but yeah. Descartes was right. And so there aren't degrees of certainty. You're either certain or you're not. There aren't degrees of belief from a biblical standpoint. When Jesus says, do you believe this? Martha didn't go, let's see, Lord. I'm not sure how my quiet times have been going. I'm not sure if my prayer life is right.
Yeah.
I think I'm about 80% on that.
Yeah.
No. Yes, Lord.
Yeah, he's asking her, do you believe, do you accept what I said is true? He's not asking, do you think it's 50% true? Do you think it's 70% true? Do you think it's more likely or not that what I've just told you is correct? He said, is this true or not?
Yeah, and so, John, anything less than being convinced or persuaded is unbelief. Until you get to the point where you're convinced that Jesus guarantees your eternal destiny, well, then you're not believing. But once you believe that, you're secure forever, even if later on you have doubts. And that's part of where John ends his question. What if I later have doubts?
Yeah.
The doubts can't take away the fact you've believed and you're sure. Now, you may not be sure anymore, but you were sure back then, and you can be sure again. And with OCD people I deal with, it's almost like a light switch. They go from being sure to unsure to sure to unsure. And the reason why is they have thoughts that plague them.
Yeah. So what would you say is the best way for people who are unsure? Where should they go?
Don't look inward. Look outward. Look to Christ. Look to Jesus. Is he trustworthy? If your answer is yes, then just stand on John 3:16 or John 5:24 or John 6:47. Because whoever believes in Jesus has everlasting life. They're never going to perish. They're never going to hunger. They're never going to thirst. They're never going to die. They're never going to be cast out. Look in John's gospel, and in the meantime, keep grace
in focus.
We invite you to check out our Monday, Wednesday, and Friday 5-minute YouTube videos at YouTube Grace Evangelical Society. You will love the content and learn a lot. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. And on our next episode, if demons can have faith, what does their faith produce? Please come back and join us. Until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.